Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome on a Sunday morning with Trouble with Snap Podcast. I'm your host, Jay File. Got Tyler on me with the show right now. He's going to join me right away. So we're going to have to get this in as quick as possible today, and we'll break down Michigan State and Michigan, obviously, Spartans. You know, I think a lot of people expected this to happen, but at the same time, I think there's a lot of things that could have happened that could have made this game much differently. I mean, I think that's the common theme, not just across the fan base, but if you watch the game at all and you have a clue, Michigan State had a lot of opportunities in this football game. Missed opportunities, missed field goals, missed assignments against a very good team like Ohio State. This is the result you're going to get. For Michigan, it was quite simple. The defense looked fantastic. I'm sure there's a lot of question marks on Iowa now, which there should be, because the statement that they hadn't played anybody yet always seems to become true for all of these teams. When they finally play somebody who's as talented as them, as physical as them, we find out who they truly are. I think we found out that Iowa offensively is still limited. They're not very dynamic. And Michigan's defense had a very good plan. I do think that there should be some credit for Michigan. So Tyler's with me. Let's jump into the Michigan State game first. We just talked about it. I mean, missed opportunities. And you look back, and if you're the team and the coaches, you're going, boy, there was a lot of things left on the table there.
Yeah, and I mean, by the second quarter alone, you had, a missed Matt Coughlin field goal. You had Brian Lewerke missing an open Cody White, which was a 4-point difference in the close ball game at that time. And I mean, you look at how Ohio State played the third quarter when they were kind of backed up into their own end, you know, they did get a little conservative. And so you think if Michigan State hits on some of these opportunities, Ohio State doesn't necessarily attack like, okay, we can put them away on this next drive. You had a drop by Darryl Stewart. You had just so many little things, so many basic things. David Dowell, a fifth-year senior, his physicality is usually what has been his issue, but he made a mental error when he started closing out on Justin Fields on Ohio State's first touchdown. Tyreek Thompson's a pretty sure tackler, but I said at the beginning of the – or I said during the live video that I did on Friday night that it was either going to be a close win for Michigan State and it was going to – or it was going to be a blowout for Ohio State. There was no in-between. And on each one of those plays, it was either a stalled drive or it was a touchdown on the board or off the board. Whatever way it was going, it was against Michigan State. And all of those plays, I mean, not that the same thing would have happened, you know, after a Darryl Stewart touchdown or something like that, but all of those plays were the difference in the game. They resulted in the OSU blowout. A couple of them go Michigan State's way. All of a sudden, you're looking at a close Michigan State win. And look, there's a lot of positives to take away from that aspect of it, but the difference between a 9-3 regular season team and a championship level team is getting those calls to go your, getting those bounces to go your way. You know, not all bounces are right to you. Some of them are earned. Ohio State went out and earned them. Michigan State did not. And that's the difference between the national championship contender, and that's the difference between a 9-3 football team. And that's what I think we're looking at with Michigan State.
Yeah, I think that I'm siding with you a lot on these things. I side with you when I say I'm going a different route with Ohio State. I don't think they're as big time as everybody thinks. I think they're very good. I mean, I'd be a fool to say they're not a great football team. But I think there's a lot of things you can do against that offense that other teams are not doing. And I'll be honest with you, if you're the team down the road and you're in Ann Arbor, you need to watch that film yesterday and say, there's a lot of things I think we could do against that offense. Number one, I'm going to say this. I think you can get after Justin Fields. As dynamic as he is as a runner, you can't only rush four or even five sometimes the whole game and think that you're going to be able to stop this kid, because he's going to be able to make one guy miss, and then he's going to be able to throw over you with all those good receivers they have. You have to be ultra-aggressive, and you also have to have a good secondary.
Well, look at
though.
Michigan State in the first quarter.
Exactly. I mean, I think that was my next point, Tyler. I mean, I think that can be done to them. I think Michigan State – the problem with Michigan State is – this is the issue. When you do that and you stop them three times, three and out, you got to score damn points. And if you don't score points, I think that is a negative feeling. And I think Michigan was dealing with that a little bit this year with the constant turmoil on the offense. And I think they still have that problem where you're going on the field nonstop, you're getting the job done, you're getting three and outs, you're doing everything you can, and the offense provides zero for you. That is a negative feeling on that sideline. And I think that's part of the problem for Michigan State and Michigan. I think it was probably their major problem, main problem. But, yeah, I don't think Ohio State, they need to run into a team who, when they get stopped, scores points. And I think Wisconsin, I think Penn State, I think they can provide that challenge. But Ohio State's very good. I mean, that's not me saying Ohio State's not good. It's just
Ohio State is still a playoff contender. It's just, you know, if you get to Clemson or Alabama, is there going to be that big difference between those two and everybody else? Because I think Ohio
State
is the best team in the Big Ten.
Still a line. Yeah, it's still a very inexperienced offensive line, though. And as good as that offensive line has looked against Indiana, you know, who stinks, you know, I think that this is an offensive line that you can trick, that you can fool, and you can attack. And I'll tell you what, there's three teams left on their schedule that can do that in Wisconsin, Penn State, and Michigan, where you can get after the quarterback, make his life miserable, and also all three of those teams have a good secondary. So I think that we'll find out way more about Ohio State when they have to play those teams. I think Michigan State, like we just said, they left it on the table. The offense didn't come to play as good. They had good sets. Again, I must say this. I think Brad Salem's has done a fantastic job. I think they ran the right stuff. It's made
they
sense, the
position.
Stuff they're running.
Yeah.
And they just continue.
I want to add one more thing here, because I've seen a lot of negative stuff, and I am borrowing this line. Look, Brian Lewerke played his butt off last night. He played near perfect game. I think the white miss that resulted in the Coughlin field goal and the interception at the end of the game when he was just trying to make a play, I think those were really his only two bad plays. Given the constant pressure he was under, he was getting his butt lit up last night. And there was a couple times Michigan State had an opportunity to make it a game when it looked out of reach. And, you know, Jordan Reed would double-team Chase Young and leave his man as a free runner and just got Lewerke killed last night. This Brian Lewerke played a fantastic football game last night. And the idiocy of some of these fans screaming for Rocky Lombardi after how awful he was last season is an absolute joke. And right now, errors calling for Mark Antonio's head when, look, Michigan State went in with obviously a great game plan. There was just those missed execution things, which isn't on to coaching at that point. You had Henderson missing the read on a J.K. Dobbins 67-yard touchdown run. Like I said, you had David Dowell missing that one. White ran the wrong route a couple of times. Again, and obviously he had his fumbles. Elijah Collins had the fumble. Those are not on the coaching. Those were not on Brian Lewerke. And right now at this point, to think that losing to – and this is the same thing with Michigan and Wisconsin a couple weeks ago. Losing to a better opponent does not mean you can start rummaging through your couch looking for a Taco Bell change.
No, there's no question. Yeah, you have to have reality.
Yeah, like Ohio State was the better team last night, and like we said, Michigan State had opportunities. There's the difference between national championship contender and I don't want to say an also-ran, because I still think Michigan State could be the second best team in the Big Ten East. you know, because Penn State kind of suffering from a little Iowa syndrome. If that's the case, then yeah, Michigan State's the second best team in the Big Ten East right now, and
all those games ahead of them. And they prove that.
And they're all winnable.
Sure.
Wisconsin, potentially not so much. But I think Penn State's a very winnable football game. Michigan is a very winnable football game. And, I mean, the rest of the way you get Rutgers, Maryland, yeah, okay, bring it.
Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan, especially Penn State and Michigan, those are two games where you just need to play well and you have a very strong possibility of winning. I think Wisconsin, what they provide that's a little different is a lot of leadership, veteran players, and a star. And when you have a star like Jonathan Taylor, it does matter. And I think that Michigan State, their scheme will be very well against the run. But I do think that they have very good receiver play.
He's still going to get his.
He's still going to get his. But not only that, I mean, when you really look at the tight ends that they have and you look at the receivers that Wisconsin has, it's so underrated that people seem to forget that these guys have been around for a while. And if you look at that Wisconsin roster, there's just a ton of depth. That defense is very, very good. I mean, they're a physical, fast defense. Their secondary is outstanding. Michigan looked like they didn't even belong on the same field. They were not prepared to play that team. I think everybody really just didn't realize how good that team was going to be. And I think that when you watched them in all this year, every single team they've played, they've looked outstanding, except for Northwestern at times. Northwestern provided some things that showed us, Wisconsin's not as dynamic. You know, they're very, very good, but they're still not Ohio State. They don't have the dynamic big play capability.
But kind of like
they're still very good.
Northwestern, not a good team, but a really, really good defense. I think Michigan's problem is, you know, they just lost gap control, and that was something that we've talked about. Is their assignment play on defense? I mean, like David Dowell and Xavier Henderson last night, it was awful. And so Michigan was losing that. Yesterday, I thought Michigan looked really good in that aspect of staying in their lanes, which gave their blitzers free runners and Nate Stanley. You know, I thought they did an excellent job occupying Iowa's offensive line the way that you and me kind of thought that they'd be able to at the beginning of the season.
Sure. No, we'll get into Michigan. Now we're going to kind of bounce around a little bit today, Tyler. We'll go back to state in a second as well. I think what I've seen with Michigan yesterday was this. Don Brown had a clue finally. This is who we have to be as a defense, and we're going to live with it or we're going to die by it. And what he's finally went to is a little bit of man zone, and they're doing a better job. They're putting the right players in the right places. Let's just be honest. Michigan is absolutely loaded with talent. I mean, they have so much depth with the younger players. And then you just have to play these kids. I mean, you get to that point where I understand experience is important, but the young kids they have coming in now and then really more so next year are kids you just have to play right away. Ohio State has seemed to do that, and it's been very successful. Alabama seems to do that, and it's very successful. If you're Michigan, you're finally getting to the level of recruiting where you just have to play the Cam McGrones right away. You have to play Dax Hill right away. I mean, Dax Hill had one of the biggest plays of the game yesterday. Number 30 safety for Michigan. They run those crossing routes because it's been effective against Michigan. Dax Hill jumps over the guy, tips the ball. Ambry Thomas, another young kid, gets an interception. That's the future of Michigan football, that you have to play those kids all the time. You have to now play Mozzie Smith, another D lineman. Another thing, Tyler, that people aren't realizing, Michael Drumfor is a very big-time player for that team. And he was out much of the season. And he's now back on the D-line. He provides depth to the D-line. That's their biggest issue on defense. And their defense is a good defense. It can be great if they get all their best players on the field at the same time. And right now, they're not good enough to cycle players the way they want to. Michigan, in the last few years, you could sub guys in and out like crazy on the D-line, and you never dropped off. Right now, they don't have that luxury. You know, you have to play your best D lineman more plays. And what does that usually do, Tyler? That makes you tired. That makes you give up big plays. So if you really understand football and you understand the game, which you do, and I think I find myself knowing it as well, defensive football, when you're on the field a lot and you don't have depth, you're going to give up big plays against good teams. So this Michigan defense is very good. Look, on the offense, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm like Dan Dierdorf. I have no idea. He was speechless on the radio yesterday when I was listening to him a little bit. I have no clue.
Well, that totally
I mean,
negates
point,
the point of radio.
You know, I have no idea what this offense is doing. I mean, at this point, you have talent. You have great receiver play. It's not an offensive line issue. The offensive line is very, very good. I mean, they're big. They've been around. You can say whatever you want about this offensive line. It's not a bad offensive line. This is a offense that is confusing to these players. This is a coaching staff that has no idea where to put certain players. You have guys like Nico Collins very disappointed because they're not getting the ball the way they should be, which I would be disappointed as well if I was Nico Collins. This is just a confused staff on offense. And this is a program that had a very good offense last year, Tyler. I mean, they averaged 36 points per game last year. You have to go back to some of the things that worked last year. I don't care if you're speed and space, you want to run a spread look, and we're changing the culture. You still got to go back to things that work. And they're not. They're just not doing it. And it's mind-blowing to me, Tyler. It truly is.
Yeah. They're one of the most confusing units. Like I said, you know, I thought Shea Patterson was one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten last season. I thought he was going to be up there again this season. Now you look at it, you know, Nate Stanley, well, I get Stanley had a lousy game yesterday, but you can attribute that to the pressure of Michigan's defense and the terrible offensive line. I think consistently throughout the year, he's been better than Patterson. You know, Fields is obviously better than Patterson. Milwaukee's been better than Patterson. Singletary's been better than Patterson. An Indiana quarterback to be named later is better than Patterson at this point. They've just been incredibly inconsistent, I think, with their pass blocking. You know, their run blocking isn't spectacular. It looks kind of like what I'd say you could do with Michigan State reference here. I think 2015, Connor Cook never really went down on the ground. They still had some issues, though, in regards to their run blocking. Didn't get a lot of yards per carry. I think this offensive line, it kind of looks like that unit. That was the last considered good unit of Michigan State football on the offensive line up until this year. You know, like I said, I think they're playing well other than, you know, you put Chase Young against two guys who wouldn't be starting, then it kind of looks like crap. But I think that 2015 was last good unit for State. They were okay run blocking. They were really good pass protection, but occasionally, you know, Cook did get hit. And the difference is Patterson tends to panic in those situations. He tries to make the play, and sometimes he's not just capable of it. You know, yesterday I thought he did a good job throwing balls away, but when he throws the balls away, he starts getting booed by the fans. And I think he's starting to feel that pressure that comes with being a Michigan quarterback. Now, obviously, that hasn't had the same meaning as it used to have because of guys like Denard and Devin Garner and Tate Forsey, just guys who weren't really that good. But, you know, there's still the Henson, Brady, Navarre, your boy, greasy type guys that people are expecting Michigan quarterback to lead you to, Harbaugh. They're expecting a Michigan quarterback to lead you to those levels, and I think he's starting to feel the pressure of it. I feel like he was feeling McCaffrey on his heels a little bit, and then when McCaffrey went down with the injury, it's like, oh, it's your job again, and he's just like, well, what am I supposed to do with this? You obviously made up your mind.
No, I think the I don't think Shea actually is playing as bad as people think. I think there's times when he's been loose with the football. I think the fumbling is the big concern for me. Obviously, the interception he had was not good. It was a bad
read. If he's gonna fumble the ball like that, he can go to Minneapolis and make $84 million.
Yeah, exactly. And at this point, it's head scratching because there'll be certain plays that they run, Tyler, that make complete sense and work, and then they go away from it. It's just a very hit or miss offense. And I think the reason why is, and I hate to do this, but it's just the truth. And when you're a first year OC and you're really trying so hard, you're pressing. This is an offense that's pressing. You got to know what you have and you got to use what you have correctly. Right now, the speed and space thing, they do have speed. And they should want to get in space. They have a couple of design runs where Patterson looks like he's running. He pitches it out to Charbonnet. They get on the edge, and he gets 6-7 yards. Those are the plays that make me say, oh, your theme, speed and space, makes sense. When you try to do your RPO with a quarterback who's not that fast, he's fast, but he's not Justin Fields fast. And you constantly are doing your RPO read where the running back's hitting it right up the middle, you might as well just do what you were doing last year with the play action. With your ISO, you know, blocking, you know, zone read blocking with your offensive line that was outstanding last year, you know, your counters, just go old school football like you were and just run it that way because that's what your offensive line is accustomed to doing. And right now that's the problem they're having is because they're trying to run things that don't make sense for the players they have. Now, if you have Dylan McCaffrey in as quarterback, this offense makes sense. And I stand by that. It makes sense because now the defensive ends realize they've got a burner at quarterback. And people don't realize this. Dylan McCaffrey is an absolute lightning bolt as a runner. You might not think it. You might look at him and be thrown off by that statement. Well, I got news for you. He's a burner. He is extremely athletic. He's fat.
Yeah, there's some athletes in the family, man. There's some athletes in the family.
You know,
cool.
This is a very athletic family. This is a fast kid. This is a kid that could probably play receiver for them. It's just not the right offense for Shea Patterson. If you're going to run.
There's a difference between a running quarterback and a scrambling quarterback. Patterson
he's a
is
scrambling,
a scrambling quarterback.
Yeah. He's Tate Forcier, and we've seen how that worked with Rich Rod. It doesn't work when the defense does
not
respect your running ability.
Let's not crush the kid's ego even more. He's a better Tate Forcier. But I get what you're saying.
Tate
he's Tate Forcier.
No,
on the ground.
I don't think he is at all. No, I don't think he's better than Tate Forcier at all. I think he's so similar. This is no different. You know, Tate was a little more pressing than Shea Patterson. He didn't have the consistent. You know, Shea throws some really good balls. I mean, Shea has some good passes on the out routes, he makes good reads, and when he delivers the ball timely, he's obviously better. But really, a lot of times he looks like Tate Forcier, running around, not seeing the quick read. This is a quick read offense. They need to get the ball out of his hands faster. He needs to do that. This is not on the coaching. This is him. A lot of his sacks are not offensive line problems. They're him hanging onto the football too long. This has been going on for the whole season. And they got to just figure out what to do, man. If they can't figure out this offense, then, yes, this is another average, mediocre season, and people in Ann Arbor don't like that. So, and then it's going to come down to coaching. And in the end, it should be. It should come down to the coaching. So for Michigan, for me, Tyler, the last thing I'll say about them is week by week. I mean, I've said this 2 weeks now. I stand by it. I said I would. Let's just see week by week. I have no idea. The defense, if they do the right things and they put the right players on the field, they'll be very good. If they run the right stuff on offense, they could be dangerous. But I don't know. We're not going to know anything about them against Illinois. We're not going to know truly if this team's going to take that turn. If you go to Penn
Especially
State in 2 weeks and you beat them.
For Illinois.
Yeah, you know, and you go to Penn State, you win that football game, there should be some newborn confidence. But I still would say even after that to be guarded. But let's go back to Michigan State, you know, and let's end it appropriately. You know, where do you go from here, Tyler? I mean, it's only one Big Ten loss. You're 4-2 on the season. You got Wisconsin. You got Penn State. And you got Michigan on deck, you know, pretty soon. What does this team do? I mean, at this point, how can we expect them to make a turn here?
Well, look, you lose to Ohio State, your playoff hopes are done. Let's just put it like that. Ohio State couldn't be the Big Ten East representative in Indianapolis. And not your playoff hopes, your Big Ten championship hopes. I don't think this was a playoff team. I thought this was the team that could compete for a Big Ten title. Like I said, they make those plays. They do it, but they didn't. And so this is a 9-3 level football team with an opportunity to win a 10th in a bowl game. It's a lot like 2017. With a slightly sexier offense. And not slightly, I'm sorry, man. Brad Talen doesn't get the credit he deserves for.
So let me just say this.
So
I got to interrupt you. So, yeah, there's another fan saying that we're still not playing the best quarterback 2 weeks away from a 4-4 record on the Michigan State recruiting thing. Can these guys stop?
And that was the idiot I was talking about earlier.
Can these guys stop? Please just shut up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's,
goodness.
It's bad. Look, Rocky Lombardi is a product of a 72-yard jet sweep to Jalen Naylor against Purdue. Let's be real. Oh, he had 238 yards. That's the most in a debut by a quarterback in Michigan State history. He had 238 yards. 72-yard jet sweep to Jalen Naylor. Like, he threw the ball like an inch in front of him. Let's not get carried away here, people. Look, Rocky Lombardi's not ready to play Division I football. It's as simple as that based upon everything that we saw last year. Brian Lewerke, like I said, has done a great job. He did a great job last night. He did a fantastic job. I was really – here's the thing. I've been one of those ones who's been a Lewerke supporter. You've understood that he's played very well this season. He doesn't make perfect throws all the time because he's a college quarterback. Matt Stafford doesn't make perfect throws all the time. Tom Brady was garbage last week. Granted, it was against a good defense, but Tom Brady wasn't good last week. You're not going to be perfect all the time. Brian Lewerke is close to perfect as Michigan State can get, and I thought he played, with the exception of that white miss, a perfect game last night. There's only so much you can do when you have receivers dropping the ball. You have a running back dropping an option. You're playing behind the eight ball the entire game because of that. And on top of that, you have two tackles who would not be in the starting lineup if Michigan State were healthy going against Chase Young. Yeah, that's a recipe for disaster. Look, Brian Lewerke played a perfect football game last night. And it doesn't look like it by the numbers. It doesn't when you see an interception where, again, it was the end of the game, he was trying to make a play. He was just going to say the puncher's chance, but he played a perfect football game last night. But Higby and Reed would not be in the starting lineup if Michigan State were healthy. You would have Luke Campbell move over. You'd have Luke Campbell running guard. You'd have Matt Allen at center. You'd have Kevin Jarvis at your other guards. And you'd have Cole Chewins and A.J. Arcuri at your tackle position. Those guys would be on the bench.
Yeah.
And
no, I'm 100% behind Brian Lewerke.
I'm sorry?
I'm 100% behind Brian Lewerke. I 100.
Yeah.
And last year he was injured.
Other than Fields, I'll say he's the best quarterback in the Big Ten.
I think that's a good debate. I mean, I think I'd have to really sit down and think of, you know, who do I really want on the field? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think if Indiana's Penix continues to play better and better each week, he's going to be a special kid, man. I mean, his 20 completions in a row.
He will be better than Lewerke eventually. I don't think he's there yet. A lot of his success against Michigan State was, you know, bubble screens, which I think that was an issue of Tressel trying to, because Indiana and Ohio State run a similar-ish offense with completely different athletes. And I think he was trying to hide how he was going to defend against Ohio State, because Ohio State tried running them last night and they did not work. And so I think he kind of you know, we've always talked about how Mark Antonio holds things close to the chest, and I think Tressel is doing the same thing on defense that everyone's always accused Michigan State of doing on offense. Is he just kind of held some things in, and he's like, okay, now I need to let the dogs loose. And so, because this was the game where you had to do it, and he did it, and it worked for a while. You know, like I said, a couple of misreads. You know, you take 14 points off Ohio State's score. Henderson and Dowell knew what they were supposed to be doing. And all of a sudden, you got a ball game. And so I think that this team, is, like I said, it's still a very good football team. You can still go to a January 1st bowl. You're not going to a playoff bowl. You're not going to a New Year's Six bowl, probably. You know, I like it. But with opportunities against Wisconsin, against Penn State, against Michigan, and I said it, they're all winnable games. I don't think they win them all. I think they let one of them fall through. I don't know which one it's going to be. My guess is it's going to be Wisconsin or Penn State, and I'll take a quarter later, and I'll tell you what that is. But,
yeah,
look, you win all those games. They're all winnable because Wisconsin, I don't think, has the quarterback that Michigan State was so concerned about last night. You win those games, and you look impressive the rest of the season. Yeah, New Year's Six Bowl's not out of the question either. So, and that's obviously a big step up from what you did with, you know, your practice squad on offense last season. So, look, this is a
I
good
think
team.
They'll win one of the
they
three.
Still...
I think they'll win one of the three games, and I think the most winnable game is the Michigan game. And my point, because they could be 0-8 and go into that football game and play well. That's just the Michigan State attitude in football, that when you play Michigan, this is your biggest game. So they play their best game, usually, not all the time. Last year was a case where they're banged up and they just didn't have enough players. But Michigan State will play Michigan better than they play against the other two. They'll play well.
Yeah,
I mean, it really comes down to Michigan improve enough to say we're still better. But, you know, at this point, I think there's just too many issues right now with both teams. And I think Michigan State,
here's the thing. You
their
put
offense
McCaffrey
has to click.
You put McCaffrey in at Michigan. You know, you hopefully get Arcurian and Kevin Jarvis back soon from Michigan State. And all of a sudden, I think you've got, two really, really good football teams that don't look as bad as they have over the last couple of weeks. And I think that, November 16th is going to be a dogfight. It sucks for my wife because that's her birthday, and then I'll be a little preoccupied. I'll make up for it, and I'll explain what I'm doing later. But I've got a plan to kind of get me out of the doghouse. But look, you've got two. I think you have two really good football teams once you get healthy. I mean, it sucks that we're talking about health again, but you know, you improve that offensive line just a little bit for Michigan State. Elijah Collins, he had a couple solid runs against OSU. He didn't look spectacular. He didn't obviously look like he did against Western. But he had a couple solid runs. You improve that offensive line a little bit with health. You know, maybe he's busting one.
Yeah.
You know, Michigan, we talked about their offense. McCaffrey's obviously the guy for it. You plug him in, talk about a decent offense, and, you know, that's going to be their only setback. I think if you show up with the offense you have right now against Michigan State, I think you lose, and I think it's not pretty either. You show up with McCaffrey, you know, maybe things change. We need to see McCaffrey as a – I think I need to see McCaffrey just be handed the reins, and I need to see him let go. And
your statement wouldn't be pretty. Hold on. Your statement with the Michigan State not being pretty against Michigan State, Michigan?
I would say Michigan against Michigan State. I think – with Patterson in there, a quarterback that doesn't hold on to the ball that well, going against Joe Bocci and Kenny Wilkins and Mike Pondashuk and Jake Pondashuk, all guys who have just a fantastic nose for the football on defense. Well, I mean, that's trouble. And
I think it's trouble for both teams on offense. I think you're going to have a 10-10 game, no doubt.
Well, Like I said, you have the health. Yeah, it will be a defensive game. But if Michigan State gets healthy on the offensive line, by then, which I believe, it's a late game. Arcuri should be back. Kevin Jarvis will be back by that point, based upon reports. I think that Michigan State wins that game. I'm not going to say easily, but I'm going to say it's not going to be Ann Arbor 2017. You know, it's not going to be Larry Caper slipping tackle from Troy Wolfolk. Sorry, I was looking at the picture right now. And so in overtime, you know, it's not going to be that close of a game. And so I think that I think you add those weapons to it. For me to change my mind on that, like I said, McCaffrey needs to be handed the reins, and you need to get out of his freaking way. You do that, and I can see what he's actually capable of doing, I'll change my mind. But right now, I think it really has the chance to give it to him.
No, I think it's week by week, and let's just be honest, there's so much that could change in the next month. And I do think this. I think this is a big week for Michigan State. I think this is a game that could really break your spirit if you lose it.
If you roll over and die after what happened yesterday, if you execute, you have an opportunity to win that game. If you roll over and die against Wisconsin, the season is over. Now, if you put up a fight against them, I think it's enough to salvage it a little bit. You get a bye week, you come back home, and you play Penn State, you get that win. I mean, it's very possible to win out.
And Jordan has joined the show. Jordan, when you said rolled over and died, Jordan came in and said, it's time to end this show. That's what it's time for. But, yeah. Tyler, I really appreciate the feedback, obviously,
we'll see what happens, my friend. I'll roll over and die. I didn't get much sleep last night anyway, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah, well, it's a long season, man. It's just how it is. Hey, next week let's talk basketball. I think it's time. It's getting close to hoop season, so we'll start talking some basketball. We got plenty of controversy, as Juwan Howard said. He doesn't worry about the team up north at all. So we'll see what that means and what that means for this show, because we can talk some Michigan State-Michigan basketball rivalry, which nobody seems to want to talk about, and it's been a fantastic rivalry. In basketball, maybe Juwan Howard spices this thing up a little more for us. So, Tyler, I can't wait till we can talk about that this week. We can talk some Big Ten hoops, because I always get excited for that time, and I know you do as well. So, Tyler, again, doing those live feeds, again, Trouble with the Snap podcast on Facebook. Please check that out. I'm going to try to get some more live feed this week, but we're going to talk some more hoops. I mean, it's getting close, guys. You know, Cassius Winston. Many people think he's going to be the player of the year this year again. Michigan State.
I don't know if you heard my hot take.
National title champ. Yeah, national championship contender. There's no doubt. And we have no clue what to expect with Michigan basketball. So we'll talk a lot about this.
Did you hear my hot take about Cassius?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Not going to happen.
And we'll get into that more this week. We're going to talk some hoops. I know Tyler's not overly thrilled that Cassius is probably going to take down some of his boys, Mateen Cleese records, but it is what it is. So it should be a fun season on the hardwood. For Tyler and I, thanks for joining us. We're going to send off now. We'll get back on, again, the book, Trouble with Snap Podcast. Probably be starting on Instagram soon, Tyler. I think we should probably do that. Maybe Twitter.
I think we need to get to the Twitter sphere.
Oh, the Twitter sphere. Again, thanks for tuning in again to Trouble with Snap Podcast, where we talk Michigan State rivalry. We'll be back on this week. Thanks again for tuning in.